Man, if I could go on a tear for a second on these freaking Sony movies, man. And I go through this every single time. I'm like a broken record. Every time I watch one of these Sony movies, I get so angry. I'm filled with this rage, man. And I'm like, why in the world are we doing this with Sony Marvel films? Just introduce a new Spider-Man, for crying out loud. What's up, everybody? And welcome back to Multiverse Monologues, the podcast show where we like to travel across the multiverses and fandoms that we love to talk about the movies and television shows that accompany those universes. I am your co-host, Ben Rayside, welcoming you all back to the Marvel Movie Marathon. It's certainly good to be talking more Marvel. And this week, we are sitting down to discuss the, if I'm correct, third Marvel movie in 2021's huge second half slate of Marvel films, and that would be the sequel to 2018's Venom in Venom, Let There Be Carnage. The first Venom did pretty well in theaters. It gained, I would say, a little bit more than a cult following. I don't know if Venom fans from the comics were so happy with it, but it certainly garnered a lot of attention outside, and obviously a sequel was greenlit right away. And we got this sequel, gosh, what would it would have been 3 years later. And it's up for debate the quality of that, but it certainly did do well, especially during the COVID time period that we were in. And I mean, you might want to say that the movies were back when Venom Let There Be Carnage.
It brought it back.
Let There Be Carnage. Carnage.
Did you say Let There Be Garbage?
That was a slip
of Freudian slip
of the tongue. Movies were back in October of 2021. But another podcast and guys that are back are these two gentlemen sitting to my right. And first and foremost, it's Ethan Wensloff. Ethan, how are you doing?
I'm doing so good. And I'm excited to be here talking about a Venom movie because these are fun to talk about. I don't care what you think. Yeah, I don't care how trash you think they are, Brock. These are fun to talk about. And all I know is debating these movies, There's gonna be some carnage, and I'm ready to get into it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
One guy who's always ready to get into it is Mr. Micah Hett. Micah, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, something about this movie just seems familiar. And Ben, I'm gonna try my Ben, is this let the carnage flow through you, Ben.
Do you need some chocolate right now?
I need some chocolate. Yeah. I need some phenylalanine from some chicken brains, and Diet Coke has it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why they didn't bring in Diet Coke. I would like to think they tried to do a sponsor for it, but just couldn't get the rights to say Diet Coke has phenylalanine in it. And little fun fact there. Brains have more in common with Diet Coke than a lot of other things.
Oh, that's definitely something that was missing in the writer's room.
It was.
Some brains.
Yeah. Whoa. Maybe they should have had some phenylalanine. I don't know if it makes them smarter or just, you know, makes them big and strong, but they did not type up a good script for this. Yeah.
Dang, spoilers.
Yeah, whoa.
Okay.
Spoilers on the podcast.
Hey, we're excited to talk about it. Let's get into it, boys. Let's open our sling rings and head over to the Spunk? Sony Universe of Spider-Man characters?
Sony Pictures Universe of Marvel characters.
There we go. Yep. Perfect name for a cinematic universe. Let's head into it.
I wonder.
Are you pen pals with an ant?
Whoa, listen to this. Dearest Pally Pal, I hereby invite you to witness my demise.
Eddie Brock grapples with his new powers and monstrous alter ego, Venom, as they tried to live a relatively normal life. However, their peaceful existence is shattered when serial killer Cletus Kasady also bonds with a symbiote because he bit Eddie's thumb and bled in his mouth. Carnage, leading to a violent confrontation between the two destructive entities. Eddie.
That was good.
Entities.
I'm glad that we've guaranteed that every new listener has left. So We did a great job right there, Micah.
That was perfect. Perfect plot synopsis for Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Your voice is going to be shot now.
Nah, dude. Nah. We still have 2 hours left on this podcast. For you listening, it's not actually that long.
Half speed, maybe.
Do you guys think they cut anything out of this movie? Like, that's just all they recorded and just threw it up on the screen? That's it?
I would say pretty close to that, yeah.
No reshoots, just one and done. We filmed it, throw it in Premiere Pro and send it.
I mean, this is Gollum we're talking about. So I think he did a pretty good job at directing this movie. So that's right. Venom Let There Be Carnage is directed by Andy Serkis.
And it was definitely not his Precious.
And it definitely was a circus. Let's just say that.
Oh, man.
Actually, I did read that he only agreed to do the movie because they filmed in his home, the UK. So,
oh, really?
I'm sure there were. He's like, this is a working vacation. I don't even have to do. There's got to be something appealing about doing these movies, though, because Woody Harrelson, he gets to ham it up in a movie that everyone knew was going to be complete garbage, and he's just having a fun time doing it, getting a good paycheck. So, I mean, I don't know if you're a big actor, big writer, big director, big name, take this paycheck. Do it.
There's actually a lot of big names in this. Like, randomly, the Venom movies just have these, like, A-list stars in them. Like,
name four.
Williams. Michelle Williams is one. Obviously, you have Andy Serkis and Woody Harrelson. And then the actress who plays Tia Dalma from Pirates of the Caribbean, Naomi Harris,
Shriek.
Shriek. She's also a pretty big actress
is
as
she?
Well. Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
She's in a lot of indie ones.
Now that you say
ones,
she's in Pirates, I remember that, but I wouldn't have.
If you search up Naomi Harris, I'm sure there are some movies you'd recognize.
I'm sure she's in stuff.
Yeah,
Naomi
like
Harris
as a background character.
You know, my one note for she's in Moonlight and Skyfall and Spectre and 28 Days Later, the OG. Huh. Oh, she was in Black Bag this year.
She is.
Okay, so she's in a lot of stuff. Yeah. I just my one note on her was that she seemed like a Six Flags Halloween actor.
That's a good pull.
Yeah.
Fright Fest actress.
That's a pretty good
just kind of like
characterization.
You know, doing one of these the whole movie.
She never really was a great actress. The craziness that she got up to in
dude,
Pirates.
She's in Collateral Beauty.
Oh,
although I shouldn't even be saying that because didn't Moonlight win like Best Picture or something like that? She was in that movie, right?
Yeah. What's that? You know, Moonlight. You know that Best Picture winner.
Guys, and you know that this is going to be a good podcast when we spend the first 5 minutes not talking about what's going on in this movie.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hey, what other movie was this actress in? Maybe there's something redeemable about their career. And
guys, this movie's great. Trust me. There's actors that were in other things.
Guys, it's worth watching.
If now, you like it, these people, just watch them in a worse version.
Guys,
this.
They were all collectively in this one movie.
This was my first time watching a Venom movie after watching The Fabelmans. And Michelle Williams is great in that. So it is interesting to see these actors and actresses come together for this. But I think all this is a testament.
Dude, she was in Brokeback Mountain. We were just talking about that.
These are a testament. You know, like these Sony Marvel movies are a testament, like just to how I'm lost for words right now because these movies are confusing. They've always been confusing. The fact that Sony said, what if we just make a Marvel universe without Spider-Man and just utilize all the villains and characters that surround the Spider-Man character? That would be really fun, wouldn't it? And I know we've already talked about this when we talked about Venom, but it's still super confusing.
Yeah, and then also include actors and actresses that are in good projects, but not necessarily the highlight. Like, they got all these B roles in this one movie. It's great. It's great. Ethan, I do want to know, did you have the fortune, the good fortune of watching this in theaters?
Yes, actually.
Really?
So
I didn't.
Me and Ben saw this in theaters together.
We did.
We didn't get to see it the opening night because we were at a men's retreat.
MCU.
And when we got back from the men's retreat, then we watched this. And fun fact, we podcasted on this movie.
No way.
It's no longer available to listen to. If you Lost text me, I can send you a link if you really, really want to hear it. But much like this movie, that podcast didn't age well. Because
Ben, what did you guys say?
No.
It's not what we said.
Ben, it is on Apple Podcasts if you go through there. It's just not on YouTube. Ben did an awesome job hosting, and I was a terrible co-host. I'm not even kidding. And maybe right now I still am a terrible co-host. But we saw this, me and Ben did, and I remember having very, very, very similar thoughts as I do now. But now I like it significantly less. And I didn't even like it when we initially watched this. But it's just confusing. What's even more annoying is that the Venom trilogy, which there is a Venom trilogy, turned out to be very, very profitable for the Sony universe. So good on them. They know how to steal money from us as fans. Good job, guys.
Steal book money from me.
Their marketing for these movies is always great. They know how to market every piece of Spider-Man adjacent technology, paper, anything at all in these trailers, and then they might not even put it in the movies. Didn't Marvel get sued in Infinity War and Endgame for like putting stuff in their trailers? Wasn't that a thing that wasn't in the actual movie?
Yeah, it's you can't falsely advertise. And I don't know why Sony can do it. But maybe it's because no one cares.
They do it with every Marvel film, man. I swear. I mean, dude.
The Morbius trailer was playing before my Venom 4K that I so proudly own on this table.
Yeah.
And infamously, in the Morbius trailer, there's Tobey Maguire Spider-Man in the back on graffiti that says murderer. Didn't make it in the movie.
They're just chasing. It's so bizarre that they never just said, hey, let's bring in a new Spider-Man. Let's bring in Andrew Garfield. Let's do something, because there's so much hinting at it. Even Cletus Cassidy's writing a letter in this.
Right.
And a spider crawls onto the table. He slaps it and then licks it like craving that he wants to fight a spider. And then there's a shot in this movie where Venom is sitting on top of a building in the Spider-Man iconic pose.
Right.
And you're just annoyed. Although I guess Spider-Man is in this movie, if we're being honest. He does appear in the post-credit scene.
They did look up a picture of him on Google.
They did pull the scene from Spider-Man Far From Home. Yeah, so I guess I'm wrong. They brought him in. But
about time.
Yeah. Micah, what about you? What was your first time watching this movie?
I don't know what I was doing when this movie came out. I should have been in the theaters.
No. Man.
I should have been in the
Where
theaters.
Where were you, man?
I have no idea. Probably something way less productive than watching this.
You were a church intern at that time.
That's true. I mean, I could have been busy with that. But, I mean, I didn't watch this until just before The Last Dance came out. I knew that I needed to, as a famed, I've said famed a lot, Venom 1 lover.
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 Yeah.
Love Venom.
Not even enjoyer. Lover.
Lover. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's getting his phenylalanine in. I am. Venom Let There Be Carnage, I had high hopes for. And I knew that if I wanted to enjoy The Last Dance, I needed to get the full canon of the Venom trilogy so that I can definitively say that I am a Venom stan. And unfortunately, I did not like it that much when I first watched it.
So you can't definitively say.
I know.
You're a Venom trilogy defender.
I think that my score for Venom 2 originally was too high based on my experience. But now it's more accurate. I think I had a lot more fun this time watching it.
Okay.
I think it's because I watched it with my wife, who was disappointed that she didn't watch it with me before we watched Venom The Last Dance.
It was a redemption tour for you.
It was. Okay. She was like, hey, we should have watched Let There Be Carnage. She didn't say Let There Be Carnage. She doesn't know what it's called. I bet she still doesn't know what it's called. She probably still says Venom 2.
Our listeners don't know Micah that well, but the way he just phrased that is Venom 2 just saved his marriage.
It did. Yeah. I canceled my couples counseling. You know, we've put our rings back on and we're ready to face the world because of Venom, Let There Be Carnage. I mean, She's even got the rope ring around her finger. She's so hyped about this movie.
It was that marriage scene, wasn't it?
It was. Mm. Very romantic. Who says romance is dead? I mean, not me. So I enjoyed this a little bit more than the last one, than the last viewing of this, probably just because my wife laughed at parts I wouldn't have expected to get a laugh ever. I was very deadpan the first time I watched this.
What's one example of a scene where she laughed? Good because question. I think we need to bring some levity into this discussion.
Every time
right
the
now.
Chickens were on screen, she would giggle. Every time Venom would say literally anything, she would giggle.
The chickens were good.
Yeah. I think that the strongest part of this movie is when they're fighting about in the apartment. That's really strong. I love the abusive relationship, and he's like, "You can never live without me." And then he's like throwing them around and then destroying the TV, kicking them out of the apartment like they're breaking up. That was hilarious.
There's a scene on a rooftop, too, where they have like a heart-to-heart and Venom just literally tears into...
Favorite scenes already?
Dude, no, but I'm just saying.
He's saying there's emotional depth to this movie.
No,
guys.
Whoa. That might be taking it too far, gentlemen. But I'm telling you right now that there is an inkling of some good... There's some good in this
an
world, Mr. Frodo.
A Venom?
Yeah, dude. It's not all bad, but I would agree.
It's mostly.
Yeah. I don't know. No. You guys know, anyone who's listened to this podcast for a long time knows that me and Ethan, we really, really don't like these Venom movies. I'm interested to hear your updated thoughts. I was reading your OG Letterboxd review for Venom 2
oh, I should have read
the other day. And I was like, oh boy, this is going to be an interesting podcast.
I was really down on it the first time. And yeah, I will say I'm not as completely trashed on it.
Well, because you said you were deadpan the first time you watched it.
Yeah.
And that's how I watched both viewings of this. If I could go on a tear for a second on these freaking Sony movies, man, I can't imagine. And I go through this every single time. I'm like a broken record. Every time I watch one of these Sony movies, I get so angry. I'm filled with this rage, man. And I'm like, why in the world are we doing this with Sony Marvel films? Just introduce a new Spider-Man for crying out loud. It doesn't even have to be good. It would make it that much, just a little bit more interesting if there was a Spider-Man character. I remember seeing the trailer. Or no, not even the trailer for Madam Web. The freaking set photos, and there was a Spider-Man on the walls, crawling on the walls. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't care if it's the worst movie ever. There's going to be a Spider-Man character in the movie. And they even found a way to mess that up in Madam Web. We'll get there when we get there. It's going to be a couple weeks.
What?
But man, is it... Oh, it's maddening.
Do you remember we were monitoring the early test screenings for this movie? And I remember we were sitting at where you used to live, Ben, on the stairs. And you said, Ethan, the early test screenings are saying this is the greatest post-credit scene ever. And there was a glow in your eyes. And I guess what we've realized is, this movie cured Micah's need for therapy, but it gave Ben the need for
the
therapy.
The therapist had an open slot after that, and Ben took the...
Give him the number. Ben clearly needs it.
Please. Because, man, when I hear that Venom has a great post-credit scene, what do you automatically think?
Some big reveal.
Some huge Spider-Man reveal. You have to remember, too. You have to remember, this was 2021. This was October 2021. Ben was so hyped for what was to come in 2 months from now. All right? No Way Home was on the horizon.
The multiverse was just about to begin.
The multiverse was real to me. And it's like...
We know frighteningly little about the multiverse at this point.
What are they going to tease? Is it going to be a Tobey Maguire? We never got confirmation all the way up until the movie released. So could it be something like that? And no, it's a pretty average post-credit scene. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie.
It is Spider-Man.
It is, but it's we've seen it before, you know?
What people thought was so great about it, though, was this was the first connection to the MCU that the Spunk had ever had, right? Like, there was nothing that comes close to that. And the implications that it would have had for No Way Home, like, oh, this is teasing that No Way Home is going to be a Venom Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was completely thrown out the window.
Well, we kind of, the trailer had already come out at that point, right? When this movie happened. So yeah, we would have already seen that.
Then the movie came out. And then Venom 2 came out. So then you're like, oh, there's more to No Way Home than we even think.
Venom's in this.
Because there's the Green Goblin and Doc Ock. Okay, and then we're going to have Tom Hardy Venom in there. And that could have been cool. But there's no Venom in No Way Home. Spoiler alert.
Well, there's some. He's got a post-credit scene.
Like, but that's the problem. If you skipped out on the post-credit scenes for Venom and Spider-Man,
which
you just didn't know what was going on. Not that you needed to know what was going on, but it's like they kept Sony's need for control over this universe, and they're working with Marvel. Like this, you got to remember also, this was the time when Sony was trying to do their own thing. You know, I'm going to do my own thing. Like, they were trying to take him away from the MCU. You know, we wouldn't have gotten No Way Home because it was like 2020, if I remember right. And they were pulling him away. They were like, ah, you know what? We're done. You know, you had your Avengers movies and we're pulling Spider-Man out.
Yeah, they're saying Spider-Man's big enough. We can turn him into our own thing.
They had their Venom trailer. They had their Morbius trailers out during that time and all full of chock full of Spider-Man stuff. Spider-Man's going to be in these movies. And then these two movies we got are massively retooled. You can tell because they're both Morbius and Venom. Like, they're both an hour and a half, you know? They have to bring together a bare-bones plot with ADR, and then it's like, okay, yeah, we're only going to show you absolutely what we can do to get enough butts in seats to make as much money as possible. We're not going to waste your time. It's an hour and a half, 90 minutes. And
so
it's like,
you're saying they didn't waste your time, Ben?
I'm not saying that, but I think that was their rationale.
Feel like, what? How can we cobble together a movie? And there must have been a mandated runtime. Like, this movie has to reach its runtime. What can we do to cobble together a movie? Because I genuinely, like, maybe Tom Hardy has interviews where he is passionate and he's like, I love this character. But man, there's no way. There's no way that anyone behind these movies gives a crap about how good they are. Because it, like, you have a shot of this city and it's like a 5-7 second shot. And there are like 3, 4, 5 lines of dialogue set in that shot. And then you cut and it's like, okay, that's the setup to why we're where we are now. You see the seams. Like, there are bad movies and you kind of are questioning, okay, how did this come together? But it's fun to watch a movie and you can see each individual, like, you know, because that's the magic of movies is you get brought into this world. You see every stitch that this movie has.
Ethan, I think the problem that you have here is that your brain is turned on. I think you both need to turn your brains off so you can enjoy this movie.
Okay.
I mean, that's the main argument, right? For the
Spunk
universe.
Talk more, Micah.
But honestly, because it's so bad, because it's so cobbled together, it really begs the question of how do you accurately make fun of or genuinely critique this movie? Can you even genuinely critique the Spunk movies?
That's why we're here, Ben.
You know? Are we here to genuinely critique Venom, Let There Be Carnage? It's making me question what my purpose is here.
I think that's what makes what we do so fun is when there is stuff to talk about. Like, we talk about Daredevil 2003. A lot of opinions on Daredevil 2003.
2 million.
But no part of that movie do we think committee threw that together and it just, no one cared.
Good point.
Like, a lot of people put their heart and soul into that movie, Ben Affleck included. But this, it doesn't even sound fun to, and maybe that's worse when someone didn't try on something that it's not fun to make fun of. But it's just, like, it's like pulling teeth. Well, like, I love that you highlight sitting down to watch this movie. It had been just about over a week since I had an opportunity to sit down and watch a movie, and I was so frustrated because I had to sit down and watch this, Venom, Let There Be Carnage. And thankfully, the credits are 14 minutes, so that
trip. Of that 97-minute run.
Yeah, so it saved me there. But, yeah, it's just, I don't get, like, we always talk about bad movies. It's like, well, at least I watched a movie. At least I took in something. I didn't feel that way about this. I felt like I genuinely lost an hour and a half of my life.
Yep.
In a frustrating way.
This will forever feel like a stepping stone to the third movie, and that's about it. And the third movie is even debatable.
Well, so, and I appreciate that you're a fan, Micah. Yes, but to me, all these Venom movies, they don't really vary in quality. Maybe a point or two, but they're all just, they ride the same line of like, whoa.
This is significantly worse than 1 and 3.
Agreed. Yes.
Because 3, I think, acknowledges what 2 did wrong and kind of leans into the camp even more. This one is just bad writing. Like, the villains are completely pointless. The third one, at least they have some fun Venom antics for a much larger portion of the runtime. This one, they don't have the horror and the not like horror, but horror-esque things that made Venom 1 so good. Doesn't have as much of the playful charm that 3 and 1 both do pretty well. And it's just, the villains are so trash.
And you have Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
And we love him in War of the Planet of the Apes. I don't know if you guys have seen that, right? He does such an amazing job.
We love him in Solo.
And Solo. Yeah, come on.
So, okay. All right. You're going to have to go with me on. Okay, finish your thought.
And Tom Hardy specifically, I think is the only one putting in the work for this movie. Besides the generic side characters of, all right, Mrs. Chen is whatever. Mrs. Chen, she's in like 2 scenes. She's all right. And then the couple, I think those few scenes, they're just generic.
Is his name Dean? Dale?
Dr. Dan. And Anne.
Yep, Dan.
They're only there to make Venom have things to talk about. They have no other purpose. So Venom really is the only character with any substance in this movie. And they try too hard with, what's his name, Woody Harrelson. And it shows that Tom Hardy cares about this role, for me at least. I thought every scene with just Venom and Eddie really felt like 2 characters talking to each other. At no point was I like, oh yeah, that's Tom Hardy, and he's got to make this scene work because he's just talking to himself. No, it felt like he was one character, and then it was talking to a person. I thought it worked really well for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think he performs.
Yeah,
he performs. He acts well, and just sitting in a room, CGI talking to yourself, that it comes across really well. And I do think they have some good fun banter. And there's part of this movie that almost roped me in was this idea of he's down on his luck. His career as a journalist is kind of flopping. And I think they rewrote it and introduced Cletus much earlier than the original story might have done that. I think they'd reshot his introduction. But if you take that introduction out of it and he doesn't have that epiphany with Cletus in the beginning, he's just down on it.
Epiphany.
It's just like this movie. So I think if you just start with him in a depressing spot and he's like, man, this is rough. My reporter life is done. And then Anne's like, hey, I wanna meet with you. Let's chat. By the way, why does she agree? Hey, let's go to the most fancy
restaurant and I announce that I'm
we've
engaged.
Ever been to for me to show you my ring. But anyway, when that happens, he's done. He has nothing. All he has is Venom, and then Venom leaves him. So there is something there.
And Venom breaks his motorcycle on the way out.
Yes.
And his TV.
That hurts. Yeah.
I mean, that's everything that a man cares about: his girl, his TV, and his bike.
And his chickens.
And his job.
Yeah.
Well, the chickens were Venom's. He had to give those away.
Oh, he did.
In the park.
That was that's tragic.
Tragic.
So call me crazy here, all right?
You're crazy.
And you probably will. But you guys are trashing Woody Harrelson here. I'm actually going to give him some props here. And this might go back to how I watched these characters in their animated forms, going back to Ultimate Spider-Man during those days. I got to get that. We got to put that up here one day. But never, and that's why part of the reason why I don't buy into Venom, the Venom trilogy, because never was Venom comedic to me. You know, never was there this comedy duo element. You know, maybe it works if you're going to write this as a movie where you want Tom Hardy to carry it. Okay, sure, fine, whatever. But Woody Harrelson actually does play a pretty good Carnage. Carnage is a crazy psychopath. And I think for all intents and purposes, Woody Harrelson achieves that. Now, I think a lot of his stuff is kind of cut and reshot, like Ethan was kind of talking about, but I actually don't mind Cletus Cassidy as Woody Harrelson. I also think that Carnage is great.
All right. You have your Mount Rushmore of over-the-top actors doing things as villains. Okay. Okay, you got Colin Farrell up there.
He's definitely up
Bullseye.
There.
Bullseye. You got Woody Harrelson up there. Who else you throwing up in that category?
Hamming up, doing a villain performance. Oh, it's just all over the place.
What's the actor from Guardians of the Galaxy? Or no, I guess he's not really a villain.
Ronan?
No, not Ronan.
Yondu?
Yondu, yeah.
No, that's...
Dude, no, that's disrespectful to Yondu.
No, I think he's over the top. I like him.
No way.
I think of crazy... What about Ghost Rider?
Just Nick Cage. He's not a villain, Cage but put him in there.
He's a villain of his own movie.
Is he?
Oh.
Dude, you could
one
go...
One of the Punishers.
You could
throw
honestly
the...
go Green Goblin and Ray Stevenson Amazing
Punisher?
Spider-Man 2.
Thomas Jane Punisher? I don't know. I'm sorry for... Oh, how about Oscar Isaac in Apocalypse?
Ooh. That was some ham, bro.
That's not good enough, though. I don't know. Maybe those two are just in a category on their own.
But you are right. There is a connection there. Two yeah. villain performances that are hamming it up, man.
Oh, you got that big dude in Howard the Duck. Wasn't there a big mechanical thing?
You're stretching our memory with that one.
Yeah, that was like 4 years ago. Isn't that crazy?
Dang, yeah, it was. 2022, so yeah.
I do want to add, though, Venom was a spunk response to the success of Deadpool. Exactly. I mean, you're saying that Deadpool was, I mean, Venom was not a comedic character in extra, you know, in previous entries, right? I'm pretty sure Deadpool was a huge influence on Venom. I mean, okay. We had 2 years between Deadpool 1 and Venom. Deadpool 2 even came out the same year as Venom. And then it kind of gets lost here. I mean, it's 3 years removed from Venom 1. And they don't really know what to do besides their... Like, they did everything they wanted to do with the comedic Venom character in Venom 1. And now, what do you do? All right, you give Eddie the success of the Cletus story, and then you take it all away again. His character arc just doesn't make any sense
to me. It's the same, right? This movie ends the same way the last movie ended.
It's familiar.
We are Venom, right? That's what it builds to in this movie.
Yeah.
Is the two coming together and accepting each other.
And
for
now
who they
you
are.
Have two Venom, but Cletus's version of Venom, Carnage, isn't even a character until the very last scene. Like, you think he's just going to be, all right. So when they introduce Carnage as another symbiote type character, I thought he was going to be different from Venom in a way that he is more of an extension of Cletus rather than a symbiote with Cletus. I thought that he was going to be completely controlled by Cletus because he's like integrated in the blood, right? That would have been a cool twist. That would have made him different from what Venom is. But instead, it's just trying to be another symbiote, just like this movie is trying to be another Venom, but times two.
Mm.
It just doesn't work. You can't just make more bigger, more betterer, and it doesn't make it more betterer.
So would you say that the Tom Hardy Venom relationship is the best part of these movies?
Yes.
Yeah, hands down. That what makes it work
I
to you?
I think that's the only part of these movies.
Hands down, Venom and Eddie and their interaction with certain characters as their existence is only to make Venom bits is good. Like, I like how Venom is infatuated with Anne in a completely different way than what Eddie is, and that she seduces him in the store to be like, you're a big, strong Venom hero. You could do this. And he's like, yeah, I could do it. That was fun. You know.
I think you're speaking a lot of people's languages because there are a lot of fans of this movie out there, which surprised the heck out of me. I guess that relationship is what is the through line for most people. I think you're...
All they
I think
need
you're...
is a basic plot to get people across the finish line into those action sequences.
This is something that the movie kind of alludes to, but it's actually directly said. Venom is in the club. He has glow sticks all over him. It's a very, very colorful time. And he says, I am out of the Eddie closet.
Guys, welcome to Pride Month. Yeah. We've made this is the boom. Pride episode.
No. Wow.
All right. No, but is there a part of this movie where that's what people latch onto? Is Eddie rejects this part of himself and he's like, get away from me. I want nothing to do with you. And then it's in the end, they're embracing and just being who we are, right? Like, because Venom's like, wait, when I'm not with Eddie, I get to fully express who I am. It's me. You know, I'm not even kidding. Like, that, I'm like, it's right in your face. I don't know how much we're meant to read into that.
Ethan, I see you're wearing your Pride Month merch.
Dude, I.
All right. I'm not going to lie. I didn't pick up on that, but.
I mean, have you seen the Letterboxd reviews? You're absolutely right. You scroll through the Letterboxd reviews, actually. And every single one is like gay pride. This is Vetti.
You know
what they say.
I can see the through
line
there.
It's the same on the first movie.
So yes, that's probably something that people latch onto as well.
I don't know.
I don't think they were all like 2-star reviews too. So don't take it with any.
No,
two with a heart.
But there is something to that.
Yes.
Because it's literally said by Venom. And it's like, they need to accept us aliens for who we are. Eddie tried to hide me, but here I am for all of you to see. It's me. It's the true, authentic me. And maybe it doesn't have to be pride related or gay related.
I thought the alien thing was totally talking about like immigrants and foreign
there's
people.
That like, too, right?
We're aliens, we need to be accepted for who we are.
It could be an X-Men thing, we are. Right? Like X-Men, the X-Men are about people who are minorities. And you can
the
kind
oppressed.
Of the oppressed, right? You can that's what makes them so appealing cuz you can latch whatever you want onto that. And I know as Christians now it's like, "Oh, we're the X-Men. That's us." Mm. Whereas in the early 2000s or in the 90s it was very much the pride. Oh, that's us, you know?
Yeah.
That's what makes it, like, it's got to be ambiguous enough to where anyone can relate to the character.
It's like Quicksilver, yeah. Oppressed because he's a gamer.
Yeah.
Most oppressed group.
And I'm sorry to side tangent us on that.
It's just important for Ethan. He needed to talk about
it. All right, wait. All right, guys.
Well, let's talk about something that... I was about to say that is important.
Let's talk about something that is important.
Right, next week, we're going to talk about Last of Us, Season 1, Episode 3, long-awaited episode.
It's been highly requested. Let's do favorite character. Favorite character in Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Woo! I'm so glad we're already here.
All right. I really like... I'm stealing this one. Tom Hardy, hands down.
Dang.
Do I have to pick one? Of the two?
No, it's about them embracing both halves.
Yep. All right.
So you would.
I will pick
both.
The whole of Eddie and Venom.
Okay.
Vetti.
And I think you've explained why.
I've explained it enough. Okay. I think that he rules in every scene he's in.
Nice.
There are some bits where he's like, he has like Tourette's moments in front of people where he's like, shut up or you're a doofus.
He does,
whatever he says in front of the stupid guard.
That is awesome. That is good stuff.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in the prison and he's like, shut up. And she's like, what? He's like, oh, I wasn't talking to you.
I don't
have
a good excuse for that one.
That was good. That was a good line.
I think I'm having a panic attack or something.
Yep. Like, that stuff's good. Good call with that, Micah. I'm going to go Michelle Williams, Anne.
Okay.
I like her. I like the actress. I don't know if I like the character. But Ben, you have a lot more reverence
shoot
for
your shot, Ethan.
For who?
Yeah.
For who? Who?
Who? Michelle Williams.
Yeah. Why do I?
Huh?
Why do I have
no,
more
No, you moments? Have more reverence for Woody Harrelson as Carnage. So
okay,
I'm not going to take Carnage from
and
you.
And I think if you've been listening, I think I've already explained. Yeah. I think he does a pretty good Carnage. I think he plays a good psychopath really well. And I love the scene where he's like, let there be carnage. It was really nice and loud in this small room. So,
dude, I hated Carnage in this. I
didn't like Carnage for the characterization. I liked him for his design and his action scenes.
Oh.
That's pretty much it. Mm. You know, and I liked when he said, "Let there be carnage."
I liked how they gave lightning. Him one cool move that was unique to him, and it was that twister thing, and then they never give him another unique move ever again.
That's true. So he does
it's
that.
The one
tornado powers.
It's the one thing that makes him different from Venom, and they never use it again.
I got to add on that because he's doing that, and he is just murking all the prison guards. And yeah, the prisoners are applauding and hooting and hollering. Hey, I don't care what universe you're a part of. You're not seeing carnage ripping dudes apart, and you're hooting and hollering. No, you are running terrified from that.
I don't care what planet you're from. That's I don't care. Gotta hurt.
I don't care what planet you're from. That's crazy.
Dang. Okay. All right. Let's do Micah. Favorite scene.
Favorite scene. Gonna go with. I already said it before. The apartment scene. I think it's so funny. Mm. Every time they're in the apartment. The goofy making breakfast scene where he's like singing, "You say neither and I say neither and you say either." I thought that was pretty goofy. But yeah, definitely the part where he's getting kicked out of the apartment and they're just going back and forth like an old married couple saying that you can't live without me. Don't break my TV. You can take the chickens and get out.
So... can we talk about that TV for a second? $2,000? It's got to be a Sony TV. Any guesses
on Sony
was it a Bravia?
Yeah, they show the box. It's a Sony Bravia OLED. And then in the very next scene, when he replaces it, the cop walks in and he's like, "Hey, nice TV." The dude with the hearing aids. So, I do want to add, in the first time I watched it, I didn't notice that he was the dude who shot her until the reveal at the end. Mm. Even though the hearing aids are very visible and there are the hints.
And it was powerful.
It was good.
Justice for that guy. I don't know his name, but in a movie that kind of pulls its punches with violence, Shriek just goes all out hammo on him at the end, and he is obliterated.
Detective Mulligan.
Mulligan so gets ripped apart at the end of this movie.
He gets a symbiote in him.
Does he?
Is he? Yeah, that's one of the last scenes where he's like impaled on that post, and then he has like
that's
the symbiote eyes.
I thought he died.
No, he has the symbiote eyes.
Does he come back in The Last Dance?
That was my question. Do you guys remember?
No.
No idea.
I don't remember.
Oh, he is in The Last Dance. I see.
As Detective Mulligan. So, yeah, he was, because he interrogates Venom in the cell, and he has Venom powers, if I remember right. Dude,
I do not remember that.
It is a fun thing to sit down and watch these movies, because I remember watching them, but I don't remember them at all. Like, even Last Dance, that was last year.
Yep.
I had to sit and think. I was like, oh, it's a shame I didn't see that movie. And then I did with you guys.
Dude, this guy is in Band of Brothers. I just started that. Yes. And he's also in On Stranger Tides.
We forgot to put
Stranger Things?
Gosh. Oh, yeah. He's
On Stranger
Tides. Scrum or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is up there. We have parts up there. Yep.
Peak.
Okay.
Good.
Ethan, you didn't say your favorite scene.
I'm going to be that guy.
The cathedral scene, don't do it.
Because
the Catholic. Actually, it is funny to have a lot of reverence for Spider-Man 3. Because when they're, is that the right word?
Well, I don't know. It's
yes,
church.
It is.
I don't know, reverence. Man. Reverence. Yeah. You're having me second guess myself with every word I say now. I'm not confident in it.
Confident?
But see, like what? So. That scene, that church scene, it reminds you of when literally Eddie Brock prays.
Topher Grace, Eddie Brock.
God, take Peter Parker from this world. You hate that when you're watching a movie, you're thinking about a better movie. And not even like a movie that's incredible.
Which is crazy.
Anyway,
when it came out, people hated Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, dude. I texted you guys that image when I was midway through this movie. I was like, please get this over with.
I need Spider-Man. Please. So I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to take the post-credit scene. I thought it was incredibly... Shut up. Get out of here. It was fun seeing...
Actually, it's a mid-credit scene. It's not even a post-credit.
Mid is right. It is a mid-credit scene. So seeing J. Jonah Jameson in this movie, that was fun. I perked up. You know, it reminded me of the time when we were all confused thinking, okay, are they going to do a Sinister Six in Spider-Man No Way Home? Because they have 5 already. Venom would make 6. That's perfect. Okay, let's see how they do that. But
didn't even count as an actor credit.
Simmons. Well, J.K. Simmons, I'm shouting you out. Letterboxd doesn't, but I'm shouting you out, J.K. Simmons.
Right.
My favorite scene of this movie. And there is a good bit where the guy at the end of that post-credit scene, he comes out and he goes, "Why are you in my room?" And he just says, "I don't know."
Just looks so lost.
I don't know.
I'm sure they were like, "Tom, we don't have a way to end this scene, so just come up with something. I know you're great. All right, rolling, go."
No, like the Kevin Feige called him. He's like, "Dude, why are you in the MCU now?" I don't know. I'm just here for the money, I guess. I do think Sony asked Marvel to do this, or is this just an initiative they took? Because that's the only way to explain what happens here is Venom gets transported to the MCU. They tease he's that guy, licks the screen. They tease, "Guys, we're doing it. He's going to meet Spider-Man." And you have to just think, Kevin Feige said, "Guys, you are idiots.
Whoa.
We're sending him back. He's not even going to have anything to do with our movie. But maybe we'll keep part of the symbiote because we'll want to use it in the future." I have to think that's what happened.
Because they have some say in what goes on, right? Because it's Sony. Right. Sony was the producer on both movies. So, I mean, it's both Avi Arad, right?
Amy Pascal.
Well, Amy Pascal.
Avi Arad is, I don't know how much work he does anymore. He just got lucky in the early days.
He's like a Stan Lee type, except not as cool.
No.
He just kind of attaches his name.
Famous Spider-Man ruiner is what they call him.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Let There Be Carnage scene with the lightning. Moving on.
The lightning?
Yeah, when he says, "Let there be carnage," and the lightning strikes, you know.
Oh, at the church and the bell rings?
Yes.
Cool. I did like the Mustang chase. That's pretty sick. He like lifts it up. And then literally the one of two things that's their weakness, his girlfriend has with the sound. Sound and fire, man. And she's got sound.
And yeah, that's why Venom's able to win, because they work together. They're unified. Carnage and Harrelson are not.
Yeah,
or Cletus. Cletus?
Cletus.
Cletus Kasady.
Loved how
Venom. Fetus.
Fetus Kasady. I love how Venom just goes from person to person and
kills people.
Kills them
because
he needs to find a place to live.
Drinks them, or, you know, gets them drunk to death.
Why doesn't he eat those brains? Like, he killed these dudes already. Just eat their heads off. Come on.
Well, it must be like a zombie.
Waste,
you know?
Not want not.
Not appealing after the brain cells are dead.
How many brain cells died while you were watching this?
How many did I have to start? I don't know.
Dang.
Great question.
Can you split one brain cell in half?
This movie can.
Let's see how much money this movie made off people's brain cells.
I've got it down here because the money is tight, dude.
Tight. Right.
Venom 1 had a budget of $100
million. Okay.
And it made $856 million.
That's crazy, man.
Dollars, 8.5 times its budget. That's number 3. On our
profit
ranking here. Yeah. Deadpool made 13 times its budget.
That was, yeah.
Venom made 8.5 times its budget. So
what's two?
Nuts. Venom, Let There Be Carnage, all the way down to 21st place at $506 million. Budget of $110 million. So, I mean, dude, it's still made 4.6 times its budget. I don't have the numbers.
Dang,
for the
but how much
yet.
Money? Name that money again.
Dude, $506 million.
What? No, how much was the budget?
$110.
Yeah, so I always think about that, and we aren't, and this might be me getting really, really cocky. We're not filmmakers, but if we got $110 million, what could we cook up?
Dude, they could make two of these movies for one Fantastic Four, the first steps. Would you have rather had two Let There Be Carnages or one First Step?
We haven't seen First
or
Steps yet.
Or one casting of RDJ as Dr. Doom. Mm.
Dang. RDJ as Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
Over
Instead
a Venom?
Instead of two Venom movies? Come on.
But in your scenario, the two Venom movies are Let There Be Carnage.
Yeah.
And then Let There Be Carnage.
What about
two
this?
Two of them. There's a double.
What about this then? One Let There Be Carnage or one Logan. Mm. That's also 100 mil.
Let There Be Carnage. Easy.
Easy.
I don't know, man. That's a tough one.
Yeah, that's hard.
It's crazy how Logan still made more than Let There Be Carnage, because I feel like that didn't do as well as I would have thought.
Logan?
But, yeah.
That was prime Marvel of 2017.
Word of mouth for Logan was incredible. Yeah.
So Venom did well. So, okay, one my question was, and I know we haven't gotten to Eternals yet. We all know how well Spider-Man No Way Home did. But did Venom make more than Eternals, Shang-Chi, and Black Widow?
Venom, Let There Be Carnage, or Venom?
Let There Be Carnage.
Well, it made slightly more than Quantumania. Eternals yeah, made $400 million.
I'm wondering,
on a budget of what?
On a budget of 200.
So yeah, it did make more. It did make more than Eternals. And Black Widow didn't make that much either, right?
Black Widow made $379 million on a budget of $200 million.
What was Shang-Chi again?
Shang-Chi made $432 million on a budget of $150 million.
Venom,
it's
Let There Be
Carnage.
Dude, Sony was sweeping at the MCU,
house,
man.
Cleared it.
Dude, Sony, yeah.
It's IP of Venom. That's what it is. That's
the
why
only,
they make these movies.
That's yeah, the only Spunk movies that didn't make that much money were really just Morbius.
The good ones.
Well, Morbius, Madame Web, Kraven.
Yeah, I don't have all those new ones in here yet. I got to throw those in here still.
You don't have the Morbius numbers,
bro? No, I've got the Morbius numbers. That made 167.
Oh, that's it? But it got re-released again?
Come on. Bring it back in theaters.
So,
two-year anniversary.
That's what we're not even in the most bizarre, you know, territory of this movie, because clearly Venom's working for him. Venom is making them money. They're like, we can cobble together these villain Spider-Man movies without Spider-Man and make some money. Okay, this is great. Let's see who can pull. Morbius. People know Morbius. Let's do a Morbius movie. Let's do a Madame Web movie.
Let's do El Muerto.
Oh,
dude,
we deserve El Muerto.
The internet needed Morbius and Madame Web. I just want to say that.
Why?
Say El Muerto.
We'll talk about it more when we get there.
I'd argue we need El Muerto more.
Dude,
I'm not going to fight you on
that.
Wasn't that
Bad Bunny?
It was Bad Bunny.
Yeah, I learned about Bad Bunny recently. I don't know. I thought he was a wrestler because El Muerto is a wrestler.
Dude, that's what I thought too.
No, you didn't.
Turns out Bad Bunny is not.
Serious, bro.
Yeah, I only found out because Linus Tech Tips was on the Jimmy Kimmel show Jimmy Fallon with Bad Bunny.
I thought he was like a luchador or something.
Yeah. His whole thing is that he wears sunglasses. I guess he does music.
That's the character in the comics, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
He wears sunglasses?
Dude, guys.
He's already bridging the gap between actor and comic book character.
His web connects us all.
Oh, man.
So what is he, guys? What is he actually?
He's a singer.
Yes, there you go. I just wanted to make sure.
So he's a singer?
So I knew Ben didn't know that.
We're
going
to have
sure
to sample
Mike
some of his
that.
Music after this.
We will.
So
he's not bad, guys. Like he's
Ethan.
Like we are in a weird world where, like the rest of the world knows who Bad Bunny is, and us, we're not like.
Is Bad Bunny that famous?
He's a popular artist.
Does he sing in Spanish or something? I know he's.
We are gonna listen to Bad Bunny music after this.
Ethan, do you have him in your rotation?
No, but he's like. So there's a popular Khalid song he's on.
Okay.
So I know him from collabs.
Like, so he's a cool side character.
Yeah, I don't know what his mains are. He has a song with Billie Eilish, I think, that's pretty big. I don't know. Ben, he was in Bullet Train. He was an actor in Bullet Train.
Duh.
Yeah.
Dude, I couldn't even point him out to you.
All right. Bad Bunny tangent.
Dude, his album cover is
what is that? He plugged in that old iPad filter or whatever.
Booth.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I've never heard of any of these songs.
Micah,
we'll have to listen to some.
Yeah, we talked about Bad Bunny too much.
Comment down below.
Let's talk about
your
this
Bad
bad
song.
Movie.
Oh! All right, scores.
More like Bad Chicken. You know?
Oh.
Shut up. All right. So, Bad Chicken?
I know.
Venom Let There Be Carnage, Rotten Tomatoes critic score was 57%. Mm. Audience, 72%.
Dude, no way.
Audience was hype on this. Metacritic was 49%. Metacritic user was 63%. IMDb was a 5.9 out of 10. Letterboxd is 2.5.
There we go.
2.5? Wait, is that different now? Hold on.
It's too high.
Venom 2.
And we were talking about budget. I do wonder how much.
Yeah, still 2.5.
How much of this budget was, cranked up by the promotion around the post-credit scene, like the guys, this post-credit scene is the best thing that has ever happened in movie history.
They tried to do the Black Adam method.
Yeah.
It's going to reshape the power. What was the motto with Black Adam? It's going to change the hierarchy of
the hierarchy
Sony
of power.
Universe.
Oh, I give power the DC universe.
Dang.
Hollywood Reporter ranking. Oh, wait, wait, hold on.
Average. Yeah.
We've got the well, there's Shang-Chi. Where did Venom go? Did I read the Venom scores? I did.
You got to go much lower.
Oh, wait, yeah, here we go. Here we go. I found it. I was looking in the positive scores, guys. Sorry. The web average is a 5.8 out of 10.
Wow.
Oof. Although the Hollywood Reporter ranking did put this just above Venom.
Mm.
Venom is at 46th place. 45th place is Iron Man 3. 44th place is Venom Let There Be Carnage. 43rd place is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
So good.
You're Trash. Saying they've got this over Iron Man 3?
Yeah.
That's wild.
And over TASM 2.
It's in the same company as Guardians 2. So that's why... This infamous Hollywood Reporter ranking is so well loved.
And 51st place is Spider-Man 3, for the record.
Wow.
Morbius is 53rd. I'm really excited to
review
that.
That's too low. What?
Come on, guys. It should be at least top 15.
Are we going to meme that to the top?
It's going to rewrite our multiverse monologues.
The hierarchy of pop. Okay.
It's going to cure me.
Okay. All right. Is that everything?
That's all I got.
That's all the internet scores?
Yeah.
All the trash scores. Yeah. Now we can get to our good scores.
The ones we don't care
Venom
about.
1, for reference, we averaged at a 5.5.
We did?
We did, yes.
Mm. Okay.
And that's what matters.
So let's see what this one gets. All right, let's start off with Mr. Wentzloff.
Yeah. I wonder if this podcast was as hard to listen to as this movie was to watch, because I think we did a good job at that. I think we did a good job at
making it unlistenable.
Yeah, a little rough at the beginning. You're like, why am I doing like?
Is that ADR?
Yeah. Is what are these idiots doing behind the camera? Oh, that guy in the middle, that Eddie Brock guy, he's pretty fun, charming.
Well, at least they recorded audio this week.
Yeah, at least the audio was recorded this week.
Actually,
yeah.
I hope so.
We're all muted
that at the end.
Oh, guys, I would not re-record this. A better podcast would re-record if they didn't catch audio. Guys, that's why Shang-Chi was so rough last week. I didn't hit record on the microphone.
It's Ethan's fault.
Yeah, it was my fault. But it's not my fault that this movie stinks. we've spent the whole time talking about it. It doesn't feel, other than Tom Hardy hamming it up, it just doesn't feel like there's any soul to this movie. And it's not even fun in a bad way to watch. It's just not fun to watch. And it doesn't even make you happy that you were able to log a movie on Letterboxd. You're just like, I wasted an hour. I wasted 2 hours of my life. And that's how I feel watching this movie. And I hope to never watch this movie again. But I haven't really even thought about a score for this because it's not even fun. But Venom 2, I like putting at a 3 out of 10. I think Tom Hardy hamming it up, it makes something watchable. Venom, that I don't know, is a 3 too high? I'm going to let you guys say your scores, and then you can come back to me, and maybe I'll lower that 3. But I think a 3 out of 10 right now is good.
So you're saying it's slightly worse than Daredevil's director's cut and the same as New Mutants and Dark Phoenix?
No, ooh, it's better than both of those.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're right.
Okay. Go 2.
That's what I like about the ranking.
I'll go 2 out of 10.
2 out of 10?
Yeah,
okay.
Go a 2 out of 10.
Okay.
Very, very little that redeems this. I don't know. Why is it not a 1?
Slightly better than fan.
Why can't it be
you?
A 1?
I don't know.
All right. 1.5.
1.5.
Locking it in.
All right.
Yeah. No, actually, you know, I like 2. I like 2 for Venom 2. Okay.
You think I would say, yeah, I would agree with that. It's a little better than fan 4 stick.
Just a little.
Yeah.
All right.
Micah?
Man, it's my turn.
What's it going to be, bro?
As the resident Venom fanboy, the resident symbiote, I mean, you've heard me time and time again. I love Venom 1. Venom 2 is...
Is love the word you want to use
not
for Venom 1?
Good. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
But how much will your score be influenced by the fact that this did save your marriage?
Oh, man, I got to give it a 10.
10
if you,
out
you
of
put 10. It that way. I mean...
No movie has mattered more to me.
I don't know. I did not enjoy this. As I said before, I enjoyed it a little more than the previous viewing, but it just doesn't capture the charm of the original. It doesn't capture anything good about any villains. I mean, you guys were disappointed in Carnage just as much as I am. It just seems creatively drained. It seems unoriginal. It seems like there's so much more they could do with Venom, and they didn't. And for that, I got to give it a 2.5. I think there were some redeeming qualities. I love Tom Hardy in this. I think he still holds up this whole movie. You guys both agreed that the side characters were bearable, which gives it some redeeming qualities, I guess. I don't know. It was all right. It was all right, but more bad than it was good. It's a sign of what's to come.
Yeah, that's more bad.
Whoa.
Oh man. Okay, so I had a score going into this, and I've lowered my score due to this conversation.
Great. I love that.
Because it's just, it reminds me, my rant also, it was a little bit healing.
Oh, good.
I'm not going to lie. Until we get to Venom 3 or Kraven, whichever comes first.
I love that there's part of you that is passionate about these movies enough to rant. Because there's, I don't really have a part.
It comes from my love of Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes from, you know? And then the studio who...
Own Spider-Man.
Yeah. It's like Star Wars, you know?
It's so irresponsible for them to do what they did to Venom.
Exactly.
With great power.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
There comes a responsibility.
So I'm also going to put this... I originally had this at a 3, and I was like... off of my last scores, that's why. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? 3's too good. It's just too good of a score. So I think I'm going to have to go with a... Oh, man, am I going to... I don't know that it's a 2. Do you have my scores, Micah? What else have I given a 2 in the past?
Let me order it for you. You've got Fan 4 Stick.
Oh, yeah. This is right around there. I don't know. I think it's better than Fan 4 Stick, though.
Yeah. Honestly. It is a complete movie.
I'd rather watch New Mutants. I'd rather watch Electro and Hulk, that's for sure. Which is crazy to say. So I guess 2.5. That's where I'm going to land. 2.5 for me. I'm going to match your score, Micah.
That's good.
There we go.
Ooh, we're going to get a bottom five, guys.
Let the carnage flow through you. Wait, what'd you say again?
2.5.
All right. So, Ethan, with your score of 2, Ben, with your 2.5, and my 2.5, we average out to 2.3.
Wow.
2.3. Can you imagine that?
Dude.
That's in the bottom 3.
Oh, nice.
Worse than Elektra? Dang.
Dude.
Okay.
Wow.
But wouldn't you rather watch Elektra than Venom?
Yes. Yeah. Rewatching Elektra would probably be much more entertaining than a lot of these bottom ones.
Yes.
I don't agree with my one. I feel like, I mean, Ethan, touched on that
no,
earlier.
No, that's what the beauty of the three of us is.
Yeah.
Is we much like score. When Venom and Eddie Brock are in harmony, when the three of our scores are in harmony, that's where things tend to fall in the right place.
Yeah, and I'm not changing the score for Elektra, but I want to reiterate what Ethan said earlier. These early Marvel movies, they may not have been good, right? They might have been some C-tier movies at the time, but compared to some of today's standards, they might have been watchable.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
There was heart behind it.
Yep. It was.
There's a lot. They didn't have
a lot of money going into them.
Daredevil has a lot in it that is...
revolutionary.
No, not revolutionary, but just as I've taken in more of the comics and just the imagery, people cared about that movie. I don't think it's good, but it has 1,000 times more heart than this movie did.
Like Ang Lee's Hulk. Crazy cool cinematography choices.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you like them or not, they're so creative.
And the cool part is we these are all movies in our bottom 10 that we are lifting up above.
We're like, can we please go back to the early MC,
but they're
Marvel Cinematic?
And I think the comparison is fair because as I was watching it, I didn't have this feeling since when we were in the early stages of this Marvel movie marathon. Like, what the heck are we doing here? It's just so funny. I don't know, man. These aren't good. No. But it's good. It's good to sit here and watch with you guys, because I don't know if I would ever.
I have a tag on my letterbox called "Movies I'll Never Watch," and I put it
in that
on
tag.
This review of Venom: Let There Be Carnage. Because now that we've completed the podcast, I never have to watch it again.
So you guys want to start the Marvel movie marathon over again?
Again?
And we can have an excuse?
Oh boy!
In 30 years,
the carnage commence.
Dang! Speaking of carnage, next week.
This podcast will eternally go forever. Not this specific one, but this Marvel movie marathon will never cease, as we have Eternals next week.
Set aside a chunk of your time, boys.
3 hours, isn't it?
I think it's 240. Oof. I'm not going to lie. So we've
gotten close to matching the runtime of films with the podcast. Do you want to try to get it next week?
236.
236. Yeah, dang. We can podcast.
I was thinking of Wakanda Forever being 241.
Yeah, man.
That's
going to be fun right there.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, look forward to that, folks, for Eternals. Get that on your watch list for the next couple weeks as we decide to try and fit that in ours. Holy cow. 2.5 hours, boys. Let's just watch Dune again.
We got a whole line of peak coming up after that. I mean,
that's true.
A series of 10 out of 10s. No Way Home, Morbius, Doctor Strange and the Mom.
Thor, Love and Thunder.
Woo!
Wow. Wakanda Forever. I'm excited to rewatch Wakanda Forever, honestly.
So am I.
I wasn't so hot on it when I first watched it, but I feel like it's good. I don't know. I have the same thoughts about it as I did with Shang-Chi.
I love that. I love just being able to look at your past self and say, I probably was wrong. I don't know.
I like that.
I think it's good.
I think I liked it more than I put on, you know?
Well, when we did our Multiverse Monologues Wrapped for that year, that was in your bottom five of the year. So you really, really didn't like it.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I didn't like it at the time.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. I was wrong, man.
The only way to find out is to keep watching and keep listening. So for now, this is Ben Rayside.
Guys, I think we have to do it.
We.
Our
Multiverse
Monologues. Multiverse
Monologues.
We'll see you next week.
We're not in unison. Man, say Multiverse Monologues now. All right, ready? Ready?
We are Multiverse Monologues.
Signing off. We all hope you have an absolutely fantastic day.